Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
The art of living in Christ. I felt led of the Holy Ghost when my husband first spoke to me about this a few weeks ago. And because I have been troubled because I see far too many Christians that are almost incapacitated with fear and anxiety these days. I don't understand that, because I understand why the heathen, why the unsaved are fearful and anxious. They should be. They should be every moment of every day. And no psychiatrist, no psychologist can heal that, because this world is crazy and it's getting crazier. Fear is prevalent in this world, and it's escalating almost, not just daily, but almost by the hour it's escalating. But I don't know why Christians are given into that. You know that we're saved, right? We are saved. If you gave your heart to Jesus, you are saved. Some of you are filled with the Holy Ghost. And yet you're given into fear, and you're given into anxiety. And, you know, we should be living like we know that God's perfect love casts out fear. Have you heard of that scripture? Have you heard about the scripture, be anxious for nothing? Not just, you know, you can be anxious about certain things, but no, it said nothing. You can't be anxious about anything. So we have to stop living like the world and live in Christ. We are the beacon. We are the light that is shining to people, saying, look at how happy we are in the midst of this world. And if we look like they do, and we act like they do, and we respond like they do, they have no light to be drawn to. So the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, and you all know this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, everybody say in Christ. Okay, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So I don't care how fearful you used to be. Once you got saved, that was supposed to go. How anxious you used to be, once you got saved and got in the Word of God and understood that you live in Christ, you shouldn't be bothered by those things. You can't attribute the old man and his flaws and his insecurities and his past mistakes and his shortcomings to this new creature that you are, because you are in Christ, and that man should no longer exist. So don't let what's happening in your life resuscitate the old man. Don't let the old man rear his head and bring himself back to life because you are not responding to the Word of God. So you can no longer confess weakness. You can no longer confess poverty. You can no longer confess anxiety. You can no longer confess sickness, because you are in Christ. You declare, I am strong. I am rich. I have peace. I am healed. I am whole. I have divine health. No matter how you feel, we're not talking about how you feel. We're talking about the truth of the Word of God and living in Christ. You're not making your declaration from the standpoint of the old man anymore. You're making your declaration from someone who is standing on the Word of God, not just standing on the Word of God, but full of the Word of God, because you are that new creature in Christ Jesus. Some of us forget that very easily, that we're not supposed to be the old man. We're supposed to be the new man. So the Word established that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. But how do we stay that way? How do we keep the old man from taking control again? Well, in John, there is a chapter that is so very, very powerful and gives us truth that will set us free. John chapter 15, I love the chapter. And the very chapter that I'm going to talk to you about is a commandment. You do understand, because you know every time I'm going to get up, I'm going to talk about the understood subject. Anytime a sentence begins with a verb, the understood subject is you. You. So in John 15, verse number 4, it says this: abide in me and I in you. He said, you abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me, which is to say, we will bear no fruit until we learn to live in him. So if you're not fruitful today, you need to look at where you're living. Are you living in the flesh? Are you living in the old man? Or are you living in Christ? I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me, you can't do nothing. Nothing. He said, you can do nothing without me. And then in verse 7, he said, if you do abide in me, in Christ, we're talking about living in Christ, and my words abide in you, look at this, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now look at those two things and tell me that abiding, living in Christ, does not work for a Christian. The first thing he said is you will bear much fruit. And the second thing he said is you can ask anything and it will be done for you. That's what living in Christ will do for you, but you must abide in him. You must abide in him. He must abide in you. And see, he can't make that decision for you because God wants to abide in every human alive on the face of the earth. But he can't because they have to choose to abide in him first. Same thing with you, even if you've been a Christian for 20 years. Today, you have to decide, I want to abide in you. I'm going to move into you, God, and I'm not moving out. One way, relationships don't work. It has to be both of you. And you have to be the first to make the decision. It's a conscious decision that you must make, not once a year, every day, all day long. Will this ensure that I'm living in Christ, or will saying this mess me up? Will going here mess me up? Will hanging out with him mess me up? Don't skip over this point because it's paramount to your success as a Christian. Don't gloss over this that I'm talking about this morning because it is absolutely necessary. You don't visit God. You just don't visit God. You don't vacation with God. You don't Airbnb with God. You don't drop by and see God when it's convenient. You live in him. You live in him. You live, you abide in him. The wonderful things that are promised to those who live, who abide in God, are not available to those who jump in and out of him at will. Oh, I'll get in him right now because I'm in trouble. But as soon as that trouble passes, jump right back out. I'm going to get in him today because she hurt my feelings. But just as soon as they're best friends again, jump right back out. You can't do that. And you know what? The trouble in your life shows that you don't know how to live in Christ. Because see, I have trouble, but it never ever separates me from Christ. I have challenges in my life, but they do not separate me from Christ. They cause me to run even deeper into Christ because I know in him is my salvation, in him is my peace, in him is my joy, in him is my love, in him is everything I need. Christ is not a convenient fail-safe for you when you're down. He wants to abide in you. He wants you to abide in him. When you live with someone, You get to know them in a way that a casual visitor never will. You find out who they really are. You develop a closeness with that person that would never have come to fruition had you not lived with them. Now, if you know somebody that's shacking up right now, do not use this that I'm talking about right now as a reason to live with them before you get married. Because you're talking about not living in Christ. You're so far, you can't see Christ from where you are. Please. And I'm telling you right now, you can say all you want to. We've been living together 7 years, so we're considered man and wife. Not according to God, you're not. Not according to God, you're not. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's no need in coming and begging and asking for things that God can only give you if you pay attention to his word. And no, you're not living in God and living in sin. You can't do it. Oh, hallelujah. That went over well. See, I've lived with Steve now for almost 52 years. And yes, we have been married that entire time. And when I first got married, I have to admit, I did not know him very well. It was really scary when I look back at it now. But I have lived with him so long that I can tell you what he's going to say. I can tell you when he's getting ready to say something utterly ridiculous. I might not know exactly what the utterly ridiculous thing is, but he gets this look on his face that he's already laughing at what he's saying in his head before he shares it with me. See, I didn't really pick up on that the first anniversary, maybe not even the fifth or the tenth anniversary. I've heard his stories over and over and over again. But you know what? It's not the stories I enjoy. It's watching him tell something that he knows I've heard a million times. He's going to tell me again because he enjoys it. And see, you can't develop that until you live with somebody. There's other things that living together brought about, but we won't talk about those today. But as you live in Christ, you will become closer to him. You will become more like him. You will know him. Now, listen to me very carefully. There is a difference in knowing who someone is and really knowing them. You do understand that. There are a lot of people in this room who know who Jesus is. They've heard about him. They've heard sermons about him. But they don't really know him. Because, see, you can't really get to know him just by a Sunday morning message. This is day by day, hour by hour. You spend time with him. You talk to him. He talks to you. So you have to know Jesus, not know who he is. See, if you ask me if I know who Aretha Franklin was, yeah, I know who Aretha Franklin was. I know her story. I know all of the things that her public persona made available to her fans. I know her songs, "The Moment I Wake Up," "Before I Put On My Makeup," "I Say a Little Prayer For You," "Looking Out on the Morning Rain." Oh, I used to feel so uninspired. "Ain't no way for me to love you if you won't let me." Yeah, I know her song. But you know what? My brother bought me a ticket to go see her the last time she was in San Antonio. This is how much I wanted to see her. It was on a Tuesday night, and I dismissed choir practice just so I could go. But you know what did not happen? As much as I know about her, she did not call me a week before and say, "Girl, I'm going to be in town. Why don't we have lunch today? You can come to the concert tonight. I'll have you come up and sing a couple songs with me. We'll go and hang out in the backstage area until I have to leave." She did not do that. You know why? Because I know who she is, but I don't know her. And she don't know me. You don't want to get to the end of this thing and Jesus said, I don't know you. Well, Jesus, I know who you are. No, you didn't know me. You know that word know means have relationship with. It's the same know that Abraham and Sarah knowed. You may ask yourself why you're so fearful and anxious, because you do know who Jesus is. But do you really know him in the power and demonstration of his Holy Spirit? Do you know that when fear comes against you, you can begin to speak in tongues and begin to worship the Lord, and you can literally feel that spirit of fear leave because of the demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. The Bible says this, for in him we live and move and have our being, which means we don't even exist outside of him. See, I don't even exist outside of him. Me and him and me, when I'm with you, he's with you because he's always with me. I'm abiding in him, he's abiding in me. And because I can do nothing without him, my existence, my being is wrapped up entirely in him. And I work constantly on living in such a way that you can't tell where he ends and I begin, or where I end and he begins, because we are one. My last point today, condemnation is the foremost weapon the enemy uses to keep us from living in Christ. Because I don't know about you, but the devil loves to bring up things to me where I did not really come off stellar. He reminds us of how many times we fail God, how many times we've messed up after he's given us chance after chance after chance, and here we are still messing up. But the Bible says this in Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, living in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, I'm walking after the Spirit, but I'm still living in a fleshly body, so I do have to deal with my flesh. And in 5 and 6 of that same chapter of Romans, it says this, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, look at what it says, those verses in the Amplified Bible. For those who are according to the flesh and controlled by the flesh's unholy desires, they set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit and controlled by the desires of the Spirit, they set their minds on and they seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. That's what you do when you live in Christ. It doesn't mean you're perfect. It doesn't mean you won't make mistakes. It just means that when you make a mistake, you don't run away from him. You open yourself up to him and say, fix me. Fix me. I didn't mean to do that. That was not in my heart to do that. And you know what? He does. That's why repentance is still very important in the life of a Christian. Condemnations comes from allowing ourselves to gratify the flesh more than the Holy Spirit. But living in Christ will keep us from constantly gratifying our flesh and move us into the realm of supernaturally operating with the mind of Christ, the mind of the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about Samson for a few moments in light of what I'm talking about today. Samson knew God. Samson was raised to love God, to honor God. He knew God, and he was anointed by God for purpose. In spite of it, he continued to pursue those things which gratified his flesh. He jumped in and out of the will of God when it suited him. He was faithful to his Nazarite vows when it suited him. And when it didn't suit him, he did what he wanted. He took his anointing for granted. He laid his head in the lap of Delilah more than once. And she kept at him. And we read the story and say, Samson, you're an idiot. Can you not see what she's doing? But you know, sometimes when you got your head in somebody's lap, you can't think straight. You can't hear what is being said to you. And you need to wake up and know that you love God. You are called for purpose by God. So you are a target for the enemy, because if he can interrupt your life, he can interrupt God's purpose in your life, which means not only will he mess you up, but he'll mess up all of the people that you had influence over if he's allowed to do so. And the most haunting phrase to me in the Word of God is when God said, my spirit will not always strive with man. And so Samson put his head in Delilah's lap one more time. She said all the things, the crazy things she was saying all that time. When he got up that time, he had no idea that there was no spirit to help him. You don't want that to happen to you. And the only way to keep that from happening to you, the only way I can keep it from happening to me, is to live in Christ. And it's not that Samson did not redeem himself. In his final moments of life, he redeemed himself and he lived up to his purpose and destroyed the enemies of God's people. But you know what happened before that? For years, he was blind and in prison and wasted the best years of his life. And you say, well, you know, that can't happen to me. I'm not Samson. It can happen to you if you don't stay in Christ, because the world is getting darker by the moment. I used to read Watchman Nee years ago, and I was reminded of this quote: outside of Christ, I am only a sinner, but in Christ, I am saved. Outside of Christ, I am empty. In Christ, I am full. Outside of Christ, I am weak. In Christ, I am strong. Outside of Christ, I cannot. In Christ, I am more than able. Outside of Christ, I have been defeated. In Christ, I am already victorious. How meaningful are the words in Christ? So what does it truly mean to live in Christ? To walk out that wonderful Joel 3 scripture, let the weak say, I am strong. That means that when I'm at my weakest and I'm unable to fight in my own strength, I can still be strong in the Lord and let his power and might fight for me and through me and still win, even when I'm weak. Now, I don't mean to be flippant. I don't mean to be disrespectful. But I call this my Christ bubble. He and I are in there together. And when something comes that's beyond my ability to handle it, he says, I've got this. I just go to my side of the bubble and rest against the circle. And I rest knowing that even though I thought the battle was mine, it ended up that it was his. And he just wanted to give me the victory. You know who else had a Christ bubble? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had a Christ bubble. This bubble was fireproof. This bubble set them free, because when they were thrown into the fire, they were bound. When they got in the fire, and the fourth man in the fire was Jesus, was Christ, was God, and they were free, and they were walking around that Christ bubble, and that Christ bubble is so fireproof that they didn't even smell like smoke. and their clothes were not burned off of them because they were in a Christ bubble. Daniel was in a Christ bubble. Turned out that the bubble is lion proof. He was in there all night long with hungry lions, more than one, and he came out the next day because his Christ bubble was fireproof. For me, it has been tumor proof. It has been cancer proof. When my dad left my mom and my home fell apart when I was a young woman, it was divorce proof. That's what my Christ bubble has done for me. The Becky bubble doesn't work. I've tried the Becky bubble. It's not fireproof. It's not cancer-proof. But the Christ bubble is everything that I need him to be. So if you're in the building today, or if you're perhaps watching online and you've never received the Lord as your Savior, I hope I've scared you sufficiently that you feel a need to invite him into your life and tell him, I will abide in you and I want you to abide in me. If you know who Jesus is, but you haven't learned enough of him that you really know him, you can start today. It's never too late, although one day it will be. But the group that the Lord laid on my heart was those that are afraid and fearful and anxious and worried. God invites you today to abide, to live, to move, to have your being in him so that he can fight those things for you and be your peace. There's no doubt that fear is present in this world. It's prevalent and it's escalating. We send our children to school every day fearful that there's a Uvalde in their futures. We put a pencil to the expenses that just keep soaring higher and higher and higher. And we look at our income and know that there's just no way we can make it. We're getting more and more vaccines for more and more diseases, only to be told that there's a new strain for which they have no vaccine yet. But you know what? Christ bubble. Woo! Christ bubble! We're witnesses to scriptural prophecy being fulfilled in our world, but the word says in Psalm 91, 10 and 11, there shall be no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. But that promise is only for those who live in Christ. Only those who live in him will enjoy the peace that passes understanding while the world explodes with fear. How do I keep my joy? How do I walk in peace? It's because I live in my Christ bubble. And because we're in there together. I in him and he in me. Stand to your feet, please. My friend, Sister Rachel Bush, is out of town. And so I'm going to have Brother Kevin play a song from the computer. And it's going to be a song that particularly ministers to me. It's called My Life is in Your Hands. Some of you, your lives are spinning out of control. All you need to do is come up here and put your life in his hands. And you know what? A lot of times I say you can stand in the back and do this. You can stand in the pew. But I'm telling you, if you're really serious about this, you need to come up front and you need to declare to your flesh, I am moving into God today and he is moving into me. I'm tired of the fear. I'm tired of the anxiety. I'm tired of the loneliness.